This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome
to the My Favorite Murder minisode. And the lights go off.
It's a series of a clapping podcast.
Learn to clap correctly. George is going on vacation tomorrow.
That's right.
In real time.
So here's your minisode.
So yeah, so here's your last final push of work before you get to go on vacation.
You know, Vince and I cannot stop singing that, even though it's a Christmas fucking Hawaii song.
It doesn't matter.
It's the only one we know.
And it feels good.
It does feel good. Okay, so I'll go first.
Do it.
This is a mini-sode where you send us your stories of misfits and mayhem.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so real quick, backstory. In 2007... And I had just gone out of a bad relationship and I was at a desk job. It was boring. I hated it. The thing I did all day was read blogs and I fucking loved them. And they inspired me to start my own blog and start writing. And fucking Rust is not history. It's just my life. Mm-hmm. But they helped me a lot. And one of my favorite blogs was called The Bloggess. This girl, woman, Jenny Lawson, wrote it, and I just thought she was so fucking hilarious, and she was also really open about her mental health issues, and it just really helped me a lot. So now she's my fucking friend on Twitter, and she fucking messaged me and told me she wants to tell us her fucking hometown murder, and it's just, I got really excited. So
great.
Here it is.
Do it.
It's Jenny Lawson, The Bloggess. She wrote the book called Furiously Happy. Everyone should buy it. It's on top of my CPAP machine right now, and I'm reading it. So she says, "Hey y'all, I love your show and have listened since the beginning. I didn't fucking know that. You are the weird soundtrack to my life. Please do not put this letter in between inspiring brave survival stories because it will make me sound even stupider than I am. Or do whatever. When I was 21, I bought a junky ancient washing machine from this guy who scavenged broken appliances and refurbished them. It probably would have been a really good deal if the washing machine didn't break every couple of months, but the repair guy was really nice, and when it would crap out, he'd come over to our house and fix it for beer money. He seemed nice enough, and I lost track of how many times he came to fix the washing machine. Not a euphemism, this isn't porn. About a year into having a personal terrible washing machine butler, the washer broke a final time, but this time it still worked, but it would make these horrific noises whenever it was on. It sounded like someone getting murdered. Low groans that moved into a blood-curdling scream and then started over again. It was super unsettling, and once a neighbor came to the door to ask if I'd check her mail while she was out of town, and the washing machine was screaming from the back of the house, and I had to explain that it was not a serial killer, that I was not a serial killer, and that my washer was the person screaming. I'm not sure if she believed me, but when I told her to come inside to see, she declined, but I'm not sure if it's because she believed me or because she knew this is how you end up chained in a sex dungeon. Fair play to her, really. I called the repair guy, but he was MIA, and so I had to live with the washer that screamed at me like a lunatic while I waited for him to return my call. But turns out that he was not returning my call because someone else had called him to repair a washer and murdered him. Apparently, the girl he was dating had a jealous ex, so the murderer called in a fake washer emergency and stabbed him to death.
Oh, no.
And then I got freaked out because my washer started screaming the same week he was murdered. and I was convinced our washing machine was haunted by the soul of our murdered repairman.
Aww.
A friend who was Catholic stole a big gulp of holy water from her church, and we dumped it in the rinse cycle to try to free his soul, but it didn't work. My husband says that's because the sound was from a pipe going bad and not a ghost in the machine, but I was pretty sure it was probably both of those things, so I said a prayer for him and the washing machine, and we traded in for a new washer that was less terrifying. To this day, that possibly haunted washing machine is why I don't like to do laundry, and also I'm really lazy. Hugs, Jenny Lawson.
Whoa, I totally thought it was gonna be the repairman. That was such a good mislead.
A repairman who you give beer money to is like bound to be a murderer.
Well, and also somebody that's supposed to be a repairman but it keeps breaking,
right?
It's like doing it on purpose yeah, to get into your house. That's awful.
I know, it's so sad. So like, it really was this nice repairman who just wanted beer money.
Yeah.
And he got murdered by this new love of his life's ex.
Horrible.
Yeah.
All right, the subject of this is the time I woke up to a cokehead watching me sleep. Hey guys, very new listener, but I've been binging episodes for the entirety of my 8-hour shifts and absorbing hours of murder each day. Thank you so much. When I graduated high school, I almost immediately moved out of my parents' house and was living with a roommate right outside the bad part of town. My street was relatively calm. In fact, all of the police presence in the neighborhood was caused directly by my next door neighbor. He was a drug dealer. He and I had very few interactions, saying hi at the mailbox, waving if we got home from work at the same time, him offering me free coke if I come to one of his parties. I never took him up on it, not because I'm one to turn down free drugs, but because something always seemed a little off with him. I grew up as a murderino, so I've always been very careful to lock the doors and windows at night.
Very good,
girl. One night, after double checking all the doors, I take 2 sleeping pills and go to bed.
Night, night.
A few hours later, I start to wake up, which was weird because when I take sleeping pills, I'm usually conked until morning.
Because you take 2.
Yeah, Jesus. When I woke up, I rolled over to check my phone. I looked down on the floor and my neighbor is sitting on my floor watching me sleep.
Oh my God.
After taking a minute to process what was going on, I push him out of my room and downstairs to the door, which is still locked. Since I was foggy from the sleeping pills, it took me a solid 30 minutes to remember that I should call the police. By the time they arrive, his car is long gone and from his driveway, the police arrive and immediately notice that the garage door has been pried open. Since he was long gone, the officers said they'd keep an eye out for him and keep a patrol car stationed at the house. They never found him. Needless to say, my roommate and I moved out of that place the very next day.
Yeah.
I later found out that he had just previously been arrested for sexual assault and had several warrants out for his arrest. As it turns, he fled to Colorado after he broke into my house. A few months later, he was in a horrible car accident and broke his pelvis. So even though he hadn't been charged for breaking into my house, I felt like I got a little bit of cosmic justice. I'm so lucky that for whatever reason, my cheap sleeping pills decided not to work that night.
Yeah.
Or God knows what would have happened. Remember to lock your doors at night and know that having a garage is basically a death wish, so you can SSDGM Phoebe.
Oh no, I don't want to worry about garages now too.
It's not true.
Yeah, plus you just lock the door to the garage.
Exactly right.
And put one of those things under the doorknob that they sell, you know?
A chair?
No. No, the ones that look like a crutch. It's like and you stuff it under the doorknob.
Yeah. There's plenty of ways to get all up in your house.
The best is to get a pit bull.
Yes, I highly recommend several dogs.
Yes, okay. Let's do, The son of Sam tried to kill my aunt.
Shit.
We get a lot of, my mom almost got picked up by Ted Bundy's.
Yeah.
But this is the first son of Sam one I read. So in the 70s, in Yonkers, no intro.
Oh, just it. Gets right in.
100%.
Not even a greeting.
No. In Yonkers, New York, my aunt was almost shot by David Berkowitz. My aunt Patty was a blonde, beautiful teenager from Yonkers. I don't know why, like...
You love that?
Like, Yonkers is a place, and then blonde, beautiful teenagers live there.
I imagine Patty was the type of person who would chew gum and smoke at the same time.
Oh, my God. Loudly.
Mm-hmm.
Both. One day... during the summer, my aunt and her friends were hanging out on a stoop. My aunt was sitting and her friend was standing right next to her. They were just hanging out, probably chain smoking, when all of a sudden her friend gets shot right in the kneecap.
Fuck.
No one saw anyone or knew why her friend would get shot. Not very long after, David Berkowitz was found and police guessed that he was going to shoot my aunt, but missed and hit her friend's knee that was right next to her head.
Shit.
I only found this out because my dog Zilla, a 6-month-old Mastiff, yawned and it sounded like she said hello. I made a Son of Sam joke, which just like when I read that, I was like, I love you.
Yes.
She said, I made a Son of Sam joke as one does, and my dad just plainly said, he almost killed Aunt Patty. This is why I'm reading this one, because this person, Michaela, is sitting at home with her dad and her fucking dog. The dog yawns and it sounds like it says hello, and her joke is about Son of Sam with her dad and her dad. Like, that's just who it's who we are and who what I want our listeners to be.
And also this is clearly not a family story.
Yeah.
Her dad's like, oh, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
But like, nobody cares. We're going to talk about Son of Sam.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he almost killed Aunt Patty.
Hey.
Aunt Patty.
I meant to tell you.
You know, you're Aunt Patty. I lost my shit and had to know everything. Well, I immediately thought of you guys when I heard it. Thanks for reading and making my commute a million times better. SSCGM, Michaela.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A talking Mastiff would be the best thing ever.
I mean, shit. All I want is a dog roo, roo.
I love you.
I love you.
You have to get a husky. Apparently, they're the ones that do it the
huskies
most.
Huskies are the ones.
Yeah.
I love you.
They speak English.
Dude, send us your husky saying I love you. I say to Elvis all the time, I wrote, like, trying to get him to say it.
To say it back to you.
He won't.
Okay. The subject line of this is surprise party with my friend and a fugitive. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I spent my formative years growing up in a suburban part of Austin, Texas, known as Westlake Hills. In 2000, I had just graduated from high school, and my friends and I were going to throw a surprise party at my parents' house for my friend Colin, who happened to live across the street from me. Mm-hmm. As part of the party preparation, a friend was supposed to take Colin out for ice cream and then stop by my house to see if I was home to hang out. All of our cars had carpooled and parked way down the street so he wouldn't see familiar cars outside my house. Mm-hmm. About 5 or 6 friends and I were hanging out at my house waiting for the last party guest, Clay, who was arriving late. We were just chilling watching TV when a special news report came on saying that someone had just been stabbed in the parking lot of the mall that happened to be about maybe 2 miles away from my house. The assailant had fled the scene and police were currently on a manhunt for a guy wearing a gray t-shirt and black shorts.
Oh my God.
I went to lock the front door because I'm not a goddamn moron. And right then, Clay pulled up in his very conspicuous classic car and started to come to the door. I yelled, "Park down the street, dumbass. This is a surprise party."
Clay, Karen Kilgariff, is that you?
Right? It's the Austin me. Clay got the message and drove off, and I locked the door and got back to the news. We realized about 15 minutes later that Clay hadn't come back yet. Parking down the street should have taken 5 minutes at the most. We joked that the fugitive had found him and Clay had been abducted. Then 20 minutes passed, and we realized that that might actually have happened, and we were being dicks, and so we started to worry. About 25 minutes after leaving to park his car, a very sweaty Clay rang the doorbell, and we asked him what the hell happened. He explained that because he's batshit crazy, he decided to park nearly a mile away in an undeveloped part of the subdivision and then run home. Uh-oh. Another sign of batshit craziness, running for fun.
Love it.
Since he had been at work, he had no idea that there was a fugitive stabber on the loose.
I thought he was going to be the fugitive stabber.
And that running to my house might not be the best idea.
Yeah.
Then he proceeded to tell us that the weirdest thing happened.
Oh my God.
When he was running in the completely undeveloped wooded part of the road, a random dude just jumped out of the bushes and started running away. Clay, being the obscenely pleasant person that he is, said hi to him.
Oh my God.
And the creepy bush dude kind of waved and said hey and then sprinted away.
What the fuck?
When we asked him what the guy was wearing, without prompting, he said a gray shirt and black shorts. Why? And that's when we told him that he had just exchanged pleasantries with a guy who was on the run from the police for stabbing someone half an hour before.
Oh my God.
Once Colin arrived, I think he enjoyed the story of Clay's brush with death even better than the surprise party we planned for him. Later that night, they did catch Mr. Stabber, and the woman from the mall survived with minor injuries.
Oh good.
He apparently wasn't even good at stabbing. I have more stories from my time as a prosecutor.
Yes.
Wow. But I'll save those for another email. Can't wait to see you guys in LA on Halloween. Yay. Stay sexy. Don't run alone at night. Kim. That's a massively great story.
Twists and turns. I thought Clay was going to be the murderer.
Right?
What if you heard that and then your friend knocked on the door wearing gray shirt and black pants?
Exactly. And then you're like, but we invited him, so should he still come to the party?
Yeah.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want
to
solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye. Okay, this is called Sometimes Things Hidden in Walls Come Out on Their Own.
Ooh, blood?
Hi.
Hi.
When my brother and I were younger, we had a lot of pets. My brother had a number of snakes over the years, but only one was actually memorable. The snakes never had names for some reason, but this one was a corn snake that was about 12 inches long when we got it and had a brown-gray coloring. Anyway, one day my brother notices that the snake isn't in its cage anymore. This had happened before with other snakes, and they would turn up a few days later.
Maybe it's because you're using a cage. Yeah.
So everyone kind of met it off and figured it would turn up or get out of the house and we'd never see it again. This sounds like the fucking definition of the 80s.
Yes. We're like, no, corn snake, whatever.
Right. Fast forward a few years now, and my brother and I are at home with our 70-something old lady babysitter. We're sitting in the living room watching TV. The living room has a fireplace which covers an entire wall. It's fucking 1970s.
Yeah, that's nice.
From floor to ceiling with gray brown brick coloring, colored brick. Mm-hmm. So we're watching TV and I get bored, so I'm staring off into space and notice the fireplace bricks are moving. I think it's just my imagination, so I snap out of my daydreaming stance and it's the snake. It's a whole lot bigger now, like 4 feet long. So he must have been eating good all those years.
And hiding in the wall.
He'd been living in there. How terrifying. Also, this is Vince's worst night. You know, he can't even, like, if we're watching TV and a snake comes on, he
can't
has to look away. No,
shit.
He says, tell me when it's over. So I casually pointed out, like, oh, there's a snake. And the babysitter loses her shit and starts running around saying she's going to call the fire department or whatever. My brother and I are still like, meh, and just tucked our feet up and kept watching TV. The babysitter called my mom and she comes home. My mom walks in like a boss ass bitch and grabs the snake with her bare hands. This thing is freaking mean now, so it's trying to bite her when she grabs it. Of course, my mom isn't a professional snake grabber, so she grabbed it in the middle of the body instead of behind the head so it could twist around and try to bite a lot easier.
No.
My mom wrangles this thing into a kitchen pot and puts the lid on it. And then they write, it could get air. Like for any of the fucking PETA people. Yeah. Anyway, she taped the lid on the pot and my brother wrote, corn snake bites. Corn snake bites on the tape. The next day we took it to a local pet store and sold that fucker for like $500.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep up what you're doing, Alexandra. That might be the best things in the wall story we've had so far. And it doesn't even really count.
Don't judge your story. Just send it to us.
Okay, so that sometimes things hidden in walls come out on their own. Like, how could Steven not open that email?
It's so good. Yeah. But also the idea that the snake gets out of its aquarium or whatever, hopefully glass-walled container, and then just is like, I'm staying in this house. There's that fruit bowl over there. I'm sure they have corn somewhere in the house.
Mice. Like, and then it's just like a mouse every now and then.
Right? Some kind of bugs or whatever.
Yeah.
But then just like goes full camouflage.
I bet it lived in that fucking brick wall for years.
But I mean, like, they stared at it.
Yeah.
I love that snake.
I love that snake too.
Have you seen, I've sent you that gif of that insane huge snake and the woman catches it and it's like girls in Australia.
Yeah.
And she's just like cashmere, it's like they're next to a lake.
Yeah, they're
and
like camping.
Crazy snake, right, Steven?
Comes at her from the water, right?
Yes. Look up that like lady catches snake gif.
Unless you're Vince, who doesn't listen to this fucking podcast anyway, so yeah. He's not going to do it.
He doesn't like anything about this podcast. All right, we're going to end on a self-proclaimed lighthearted.
Okay. If you put lighthearted in your email, that's always helpful too, because then we know how to end on something.
Yeah, exactly.
Or in your subject line. Okay.
So it's, the subject line is golf wielding grandmother. Lighthearted.
Great.
Hi, Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and animals. I stumbled upon your show recently and it has made my commute to work and law school so much more enjoyable. I did make the mistake of listening to your episode about the leaf man too close to bedtime and ended up sleeping with the lights on because obviously murderers wait until you turn them off. But otherwise, I'm so impressed with your wonderful mix of humor and tragedy with these dark and fascinating stories.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks. My hometown isn't about a murder, but an attempted robbery. One day, my grandma phoned to say that she was in the hospital for a broken arm, which on its face seems rather ordinary. However, the story comes out that my grandma woke up in the middle of the night to noises coming from down the hall. She lives alone and doesn't have any pets, so she knew something was up. Mm-mm. Naturally, she grabs one of my grandpa's old golf clubs, sneaks out of her room to investigate, and finds a large man rifling through her things in the living room. At this point, most people would call for help, but apparently my badass grandma thought that she would handle the situation on her own. After all, she had lived through World War II in Latvia before.
That's where my family's from.
Is that right?
Yes.
Fuck yeah. She was forced to flee to the U.S. as a teenager after some of her family were killed. Yeah, she doesn't fuck around.
No, she's not fucking around.
She doesn't scare easy. Uh-uh. So she looked around her house to make sure the man was alone. Smart. Popped out with her golf club raised and started beating the thief over the head while shouting at him in Latvian.
Good girl!
He was so startled and probably concussed that he dropped what he grabbed, resisted the grandma attack very briefly, which is when my grandma's arm was broken.
Oh my God.
And then fled into the night. He was never caught by the police, but thankfully he also never returned. Afterwards, my mom gave my grandma a lecture about the importance of calling the cops,
Jesus.
The risks of attacking intruders without knowing if they are armed or not, and how she could have made an escape instead. My grandma promised that she would be more responsible, but when we visited her next, we discovered that she had placed a golf club in every room of her house.
Oh, grandma.
Anyways, you're awesome, so make sure you stay sexy and always carry a golf club. Love, Erica.
Oh my God.
Fuck yeah, Latvian grandma doesn't take shit.
She couldn't have hit that hard with that, right? Like,
I mean,
probably just surprised the shit out of this dude.
Yeah. Well, it probably hurt and maybe like knocked him a little senseless, but yeah.
And then also this woman screaming at you in a foreign language.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow, that's so good. Incredible.
And I like that one.
Yeah, I do too.
Those were all amazing.
Those were great. And all listen, any story you have that's fucking crazy, just send them to us, myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Elvis, do you want a cookie? Want a cookie?